Welcome, I'm Allie from Believers For, where women like you seek pregnancy, labor, and childbirth education support, all unapologetically founded in and on the unwavering Word of God. Let's dig in. Sisters, we meet here today to talk about pain and suffering as it relates to labor and birth. There's a common doula birth quote that says the pain of labor might be defined as an unpleasant bodily sensation. Suffering, however, is a distressing psychological state that includes feelings of helplessness, fear, panic, loss of control, and aloneness. Though this is very palatable, and it is well-meaning, I'm sure, I really want us to look at Scripture and to see what Scripture has to say about suffering. When we look at Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. So we have the beginning being our suffering and the end, which is hope. How do we get there? How do we build that bridge from suffering to hope? What happens when a mama looks up the word pain in the dictionary and sees that it literally means mental or physical suffering? Wait a second. I was just told that pain and suffering and labor are completely different things, and I can have one, but not the other, when the definition of pain is suffering. Now I've just introduced a way for this mama to feel anxiety over the fact that she may likely suffer in birth. So let's build that foundation, expanding our understanding of what pain and suffering are. We know Scripture says suffering through a line of sanctification and edification brings hope. So let's get there. Foundationally, pain, by definition, mental or physical suffering. Suffering, by definition, is to experience something unpleasant, to tolerate something, to allow, to accept, to endure with self-control. These are things that as a doula, I am telling my clients to do anyways. Like I'm saying, allow the progression of your labor to unfold, accept and receive what the Father has for you in it. And I watch them endure with self-control. That experience is the suffering. This is what the Word of God tells us to anticipate in labor, and this is normal. Think of suffering through something. The suffering isn't the end. For believers, it's never the end. Some seasons of suffering are shorter, some are longer. I just want us to see that there's another side. That alone should give hope. Now let's look at trauma. Trauma is a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. Distress means extreme anxiety, sorrow, and pain. Disturbing means to cause anxiety or worry. I want you to hear me. There's a big difference between suffering and trauma. I do not want anyone to experience trauma in their labor and birth. A good way to protect against a traumatic experience, we can't protect against them all, but a good way to try is to expect things that we are told in Scripture to anticipate. Here, that's pain and suffering. We prepare our bodies and our minds and our spirits to receive what the Father has for us in our labor and birth experience. If we can receive that with open hands, we are less likely to be taken off guard, less likely to be in a disturbed or distressing state. that leads to trauma. We see that the problem is not really the presence of pain and suffering. The problem is that we live in a culture that's offended by it. There's a quote by Dr. Paul Brand. He's an orthopedic surgeon who lived and studied among those with leprosy in India. And he said, "If I held in my hands the power to eliminate physical pain from the world, I would not exercise it." That is a bold, bold quote. Now, you may be asking yourself, wait, isn't pain a bad thing? Especially in scripture, isn't it a result of sin? And I would say this. I would agree with Dr. Brand and say that pain in itself is a very, very helpful sensation. I believe that humans experienced it in the Garden of Eden before the fall. There's a couple of reasons why I think that, and we can hit on a few, but I don't want that to be the main takeaway. However, I do want you to realize that pain is not the consequence that women have from Genesis 3. Multiplied pain is the consequence. So an increased sensation. In Genesis 2, Yahweh puts Adam to sleep to remove a rib. And then, of course, the verbiage in Genesis 3, this is very debatable. It's not a salvation issue. So let's not get caught up on it. But when it says, "I will multiply your pain," that there was already a foundation of what pain was. There's already knowledge of that sensation or experience. Furthermore, we have to ask ourselves, does Yahweh himself have the capacity to feel joy, sorrow, grief, pain, peace? Absolutely. Did he have that capacity before the fall? Well, yes, his capacity to feel these emotions was not contingent on us falling away from him. And if we are made in his image, we need to realize that that was probably part of our identity prior to the fall. If we won't allow for pain and suffering, or altogether just deny its existence in labor and birth, then we are really doing ourselves a disservice and hindering the fullness of joy that is meant to follow. I've asked myself this. If Yahweh says in scripture that he turns our mourning into dancing, should we as believers seek to escape the mourning or the grieving or the pain or the suffering? I would say that pain and suffering and labor are to be anticipated. Be mindful that as labor progresses, likely so will pain and suffering until their appointed end, which is the birth. And that is when you exchange your suffering and pain for greater joy. Trauma, however, should never be associated with labor and birth. And my heart absolutely breaks for those who would classify the birth journey as such. For those who are believers and have walked through a traumatic birth, Yahweh's grace is sufficient for your healing. If not in this world, surely in the one to come. Hold fast, dear sister. It is of utmost importance that we look at Jesus and his word regarding the pain and labor and birth. He says, "When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world." It's John 16:21. Those are the words of Jesus. It's beautiful if it stands alone. However, it doesn't. Jesus graciously tells us why we experience labor and birth this specific way. It is a tangible representation of our lives here and what we can expect in his future glory. Jesus continues, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." That's John 16:22, directly following his description of labor and birth. The fact that we have sorrow and it's exchanged for unstealable joy. He wants us to know, sisters, and this is the hope that we have. Through our suffering, it will end. And we will have a joy that is unmatchable, unshakable, unstealable, and praise him for it. I pray that this is for you, for your birth,
for your labor.
As we live in this world full of pain and suffering, believers in Jesus have a hope to cling to boast in, to share. This world isn't going to get better. This world is in labor. And the hard pandemics, the plagues, the wars, they, like labor contractions, will happen quicker, last longer, be more intense until John 16:22 happens. Until he comes and sees us again with our hearts rejoicing and us beaming with joy. The parallel here, I want you to see it. Sisters, the greatest pain and suffering that we know as laboring mamas is separation, right? We endure wave after wave, contraction after contraction, though our little one has yet to be in our arms. That's the moment we want. The greatest pain and suffering we know as believers in this world is separation. We endure trial after fiery trial, and we're not able to embrace Abba. Take heart. At the appointed time and all at once, this will change. Your baby will be in your arms, mama, and likewise, sister, we will be in Father's arms, sorrow exchange for joy in a single moment. Is that beautiful? And Yahweh would use birth as a tangible representation of the coming hope and the joy of his return. And you, mama, get to experience this. It is no light thing. For practical steps in scripture meditation, check out the link in the description. It'll take you to the handout that I walk my client through. Let me leave you with this. When Yahweh brings us to the end of ourselves, we rely on him to bring us through. And that's a great place to be. It's hard, but it's foundation building. As a reminder, the pain and suffering for believers is never the end. To make us look more like him, to sanctify us. A friend had shared a thought the other day about a conversation with a silversmith on the process of purifying silver. And it's so intentional, the silver being placed in the fire at the hottest part of the flame. And the silversmith can't just leave it there. He has to be attentive to it. He can't let it go too long or it would be ruined. Yet he knows when it's perfectly purified, because he can see his reflection in it. Numbers 31:22-23 says, "Only everything that can stand the fire, you shall pass through the fire, and it will be clean." And in 1 Peter 4:12, we're reminded, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Sister, you are strong enough to withstand the fire. When you pass through it, it will likely hurt, but you will be all the more beautiful on the other side. It was so great meeting with you here. And as a doula and childbirth educator and nurse, I've spent over the last decade teaching and supporting birthing women in many different contexts and cultures. It's my honor and pleasure to meet with you here. So please, if you haven't done so already, subscribe, like, ring that bell so you can stay up to date with my latest content. Blessings, sister.